Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to tell everyone I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides, and if you'd like to get in touch with your spirit guides and angels, please call me at 509-750-9793 here in the United States or email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell people also that my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location that it was held this year in Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. And there's a substantial discount of only $55 for the entire conference if you register early by November 1st. For details, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com or call me again at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. That's a good toll-free number for anywhere in the United States and Canada. In addition, this summer from September 6th to the 12th, I'll be taking a group of people to Mount Shasta, Telos, and the Hollow Earth, been sponsoring trips to Mount Shasta and the Hollow Earth for several years. And I have to tell you, it's a fascinating place. There's all kinds of portals to the Hollow Earth there. We also see many UFOs flying in and out of Mount Shasta. And most recently, on the trip that I just returned from Mount Shasta a few days ago, we saw Sasquatch there at our camp and walking by our camp in the woods. And they also built a peace mandala just outside of our camp of twigs and brush, which was surrounded by rock quartz crystals. And the crystals are so beautiful, but they did that for world peace. And with that, I'd like to bring in my good friend, Billy Woodard from the Hollow Earth, and his father as well, Zora. Billy, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Oh, fine. It's so good to talk to you, Billy. How's everything been? I haven't talked to you in a number of months.
Oh, it's nice and warm, and clouds are separating, and blue sky is showing through.
Wonderful.
Temperatures up in the 80s, going up in the 90s.
Uh-huh. Nice. Nice. Wonderful.
It's going to be.
Wonderful. I love summertime weather. And I have to tell you, Billy, now that I brought you in, we've got a beautiful bright white light that just came into the studio. So it must be because you've got some Telos spirits here. I can tell that the Hollow Earth people have come in to join us here.
Good.
I wanted to tell you, run something by you. There's lots of ways, lots of different areas we can cover today. But one thing I'd love to ask you about are the chemtrails, both you and your father, wonderful father Zora. And I've been told that the trails are decreasing, that eventually they'll stop. I've noticed that the chemtrails in eastern Washington, where I used to live around Moses Lake, there wasn't any evidence of them spraying them now, even though, like a couple of years ago, they were spraying them almost every other day. Do you have any information, recent information about chemtrails and if they're starting to cut back on them?
Well, they were told to cut back on them. They were told to stop them.
Oh, good.
By the Galactics.
Uh-huh.
A message was sent to the Air Force and by way of courier and to cease and desist.
Excellent.
From all activity concerning chemtrails. So, and that if they couldn't do it, they would do it for them. So, they sort of like gave them an ultimatum, you know, to either stop or they'll stop them.
Sure.
One of the two.
Sure. Well, that's good. I know at Mount Shasta we did see some evidence of chemtrail activities down there. One night we saw two jets flying parallel, Billy, flying from north to south, and they came back again and sprayed us again. But it is better. I know that in October 2016, when I drove past Mount Shasta, Billy, there must have been at least 40 or 50 chemtrails. I mean, the sky was so coated with those things. It was early in the morning. I was driving past Mount Shasta, Billy, and the whole sky was like this strange-looking, kind of a reddish, orangish, yellowish color from the chemicals. And I guess from 40 or 50 in one day down to three or four chemtrails. I guess that's an improvement. It's not stopped, but it's way down, 80%, 80, 85, 90% down from what it was. So then, and then that's good. I wanted to ask your dad, if you could bring him in, what does he see happening for the United States and the rest of the world this year?
What does he see happening for the rest of the world?
Yeah, for the United States and the rest of the world, in terms of world events, anything he sees significant happening, like the RV, for example, or anything else he'd like to talk about?
Well, I guess I better bring him in.
Okay. All right, Billy, thank you.
Yep, I'm going to have to bring my father through.
Okay.
I'm going to put you on speaker here so my Jane can hear as well.
All right. Hi, Jane.
She's shaking her head over there. So.
All right.
Okay. Sound-wise, it's better with the earphones. So.
Okay, I can hear you fine.
Go ahead.
Okay.
I know you can. So I'm going to be quiet here for a minute, and I'm going to bring my father through.
Okay.
And
what you will do, you will switch places with your father, who's in the hollow earth.
Yeah.
And then he'll speak through you. Okay, good.
Where we have to be. He might not be in hollow earth.
Okay.
He might be somewhere else.
Okay.
Anyway, so we'll find out.
All right, thanks.
Indeed, beloved gods and goddesses.
Hello, Zora. It's so good to talk to you again.
And how be you this day?
Wonderful, wonderful. We just returned from Mount Shasta a few days ago. Had a wonderful experience seeing Sasquatch, extraterrestrial.
It's not called Sasquatch. They're called Shatus.
Shatus. Oh, I'm sorry. That's right. You did mention that before.
They do not like the name Shatus. Not Shatus. Sasquatch.
Okay.
They do not like to be called Bigfoot. They do not like to be called Sasquatch.
Okay.
They are Shatus.
Okay. All right. Well, please send my apologies to them. I'll be more careful next time to call them by the correct name. As I was telling Billy, they made a beautiful circle of tree sticks and moss, and with another circle of quartz crystal. A beautiful rose quartz crystal, Zora, in the middle of this circular mandala, and then they put quartz crystal on all the trees around it, too, for world peace. And I just want to thank them so much for doing that. It was amazing. I'll send you a picture of it, too, and post it on my website.
Indeed.
Wonderful, wonderful. Well, Zora, what do you see happening for the rest of this year for the United States?
Awakening.
Awakening, wonderful.
I see the world coming to an awakening.
Mm.
And, of course, as it is so time, they are coming to an awakening because their DNA is shifting from what is called a 2-strand to a 12-strand DNA. And also their what they call their carbon-based entities or makeup is also transforming to that of crystal. So they're going to experience more and more less density than what they are now, and the more that the density becomes less and less, the more translucent your body shall become. And you will come to a state where you will be able to walk through a wall simply by doing it. So that is one issue that is taking place. Another is that the revaluation of currency is also transpiring as we speak, and the what they call the tier 1 and tier 2 and tier 3s are finishing up. The tier 3s are finishing up. The tier 2s have already done, and the tier 3s are finishing, and of course the tier 4s are also beginning to be exchanged as well. So that is just around the corner. and imminently around the corner. And so that is what's transpiring now. And the more and more people, I emphasize to your listeners that they must do extensive meditation. And I mean extensive, not just what they call 30 minutes a day. I'm talking hours of meditation. The more you meditate, the more you raise your consciousness. The more you raise your consciousness, the more you bring about your blessing. So get in and do meditation a couple hours a day.
Okay.
Or an hour in the morning, an hour in the evening, instead of just a simple 30 minutes as Jared Rand does for what is called noon hour. It is 30 minutes, mm-hmm. but it is very powerful. And so it is extremely important that for your listeners to go on to the Jared Rand meditation. I will give you the number that you can give to your listeners that you can partake in the Jared Rand meditation. Mm-hmm. So I will bring forth that information to you presently.
Wonderful. What good advice, Sora. Thank you so much for giving us that wonderful information. I really appreciate it. Because I often get questions from my listeners on what can we do to help with the ascension process and help the Earth. Thank you for sharing that.
Indeed. Yeah. And I'm going to bring forth the information here for you to give to your listening audience so you can give it out to them.
Okay.
And that would be contact. All right. The Jared Rand meditation the phone number is, let's see here, 641-715-0857. And the access code is 303-471, pound.
Okay.
And it would be on the West Coast, that would be the noon hour at 12 noon to 12:30. And it would be accordingly to whatever time frame or time zone you're in. Whatever it is on the West Coast, it would be according to you, 3, I think?
Mm-hmm.
3, I believe it would be. And then 2 central, and then 1 mountain, and then 12 Pacific.
Sure. I'm on the West Coast, so it would be Pacific time, 12 noon.
Indeed, it would.
Yeah, yeah. Would that be every day or a certain time?
It is every day.
Okay.
At noon.
Oh, wonderful.
Every day at noon.
Okay.
They have a 30-minute meditation.
Nice.
And it's very powerful.
Okay.
It would be advisable for you to begin listening to it.
Okay.
But there again, when it comes to meditating on your own, go out into Mother Nature.
Okay.
Put your back against a tree. Put your feet flat on the ground, barefoot preferably.
Okay.
If possible.
All right.
And just become commune with your tree. Take time to do this. Once you have accomplished the telepathy with a tree, then, of course, you can move upward into the other forms of life, such as your wildlife and domestic animals.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you have accomplished that, then you can go into into the higher forms of life known as man.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, man, as you know, they have a very short attention span. So,
right.
So they need to do what is termed as, in order to lengthen the attention span, you need to do away with what is called your distractions, such as your computers, such as your iPhones, such as your iPads and iPods and all of that stuff, and just simply put all that away when you're going to do your meditation. That's where you're not being distracted. You do not want to be distracted when you are in meditation. You set aside an hour a day and meditate. Simply put your phone on mute or leave it in another room on mute, and turn off your TVs, turn off your radios, your communication devices, and just simply be quiet. Simply allow yourself to experience the silence, especially when you are going to meditate. And by being out in Mother Nature, of course, that is going to be a wondrous thing, because you are in touch with Gaia, or what you call Terra Christa. Mm-hmm. And when you put your feet flat on the ground, you are grounding to the earth. You put your back up against a tree, you are grounding with the tree and the earth. So that is the advice I give to you in order to prepare yourself to do what is termed as a meditation, which you can turn it into a global meditation if you desire. But it is important that you meditate. I emphasize this greatly.
Wonderful.
Meditate, meditate, meditate.
Wonderful, wonderful. You know, I took...
And when you do that, mm-hmm. of course, like I said, you want to be out into Mother Nature.
Okay.
If you're in a city,
right,
go to a city park.
Okay.
And put your back against a tree and your feet flat on the ground,
okay,
barefoot.
Okay.
You do not want to be separated from Mother Nature.
Okay.
When you are going to meditate.
Do you think
you want to be in direct contact with them?
Do you know, I took your advice. You told me that 2 years ago, Zora, when I was writing my book, Messages from the Masters. And
indeed.
And I did isolate myself. I went away from my computers. I wrote and I got it done. And I want to thank you so much for your excellent advice. I really appreciate it.
Indeed. See, when you're not hindered by what is called distractions, such as your iPhones and
right,
your what is called your iPads and what is called your computers and your TV, radio, once you have turned all that off, then it becomes quiet.
Yes,
and then
absolutely.
Then your mind can become quiet.
My TV producer in Olympia, where I do a television show, 30 minutes. He said that people, and I'd love your opinion on this. He said that people have been genetically modified, altered today, so their attention span is only 30 minutes. But I think you're right. I think people can have a longer attention span if they just simply turn off all their electronic gadgets.
Of course. And see that as people become dependent upon your iPhones and your iPads and computers and things of this nature.
Right.
That is an intentional distraction.
Ah, yes.
So if you have a computer, you turn it off. You have an iPhone, you put it on mute.
Sure.
And if you have an iPad, same thing.
Sure.
Put it on mute and forget about it.
Absolutely.
Until you are done with your until you are done meditating. And you will find that people of what you call your frontier days, when they meditated, they had no distractions whatsoever. None.
That's
so that
true.
Is the way it should be with you.
Thank you.
Simply turn off all of your gadgets that is going to be a distraction to you, so you can meditate fully for one solid hour. Now, be fully awake when you do a meditation. You don't want to go to sleep during a meditation.
Okay.
You simply want to meditate. And people say, well, when I meditate, I go to sleep. Why? because you're tired. Mm-hmm. Your body is tired.
Mm-hmm.
So you want your body fully rested when you go and do a meditation so you can be conscious. And also so your subconscious and conscious can come together as in your meditation. Very important that you do that.
Sure.
And understand, once you have fully integrated into meditating for a solid hour, you may want to extend it out to another, to 2 hours or, yeah, or more.
Sure.
It depends upon yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But just remember, when you meditate, you're there for that purpose, to meditate. You're meditating on whatever it may be, world peace or your blessing. If it's not your blessing, it could be what is called engaged in a what is called a relationship,
mm-hmm,
or what is called a dispute or something of this nature.
Sure.
Whatever the meditation is for, that is what you're going to meditate upon.
Mm-hmm.
And you will get your answer at the end of the meditation.
Wow.
You will have your answer.
Interesting. Interesting. Wonderful. Wonderful. I hope you don't mind me.
I will tell you one other thing, too.
Sure.
That here just recently, I did a song at the end of one of my phone calls, and it was an invitation to the Mer people to return to the earth. And they have done so. They have a ship from Sirius, which was 1,000 miles across, came in under the cloak of night, landed on the Pacific Ocean and submerged, and dispatched their cargo, which happened to be the entire population of Mer people that were once upon the Earth at one time.
Really?
They have now returned to the Earth.
You know,
but you are going to see them more frequently.
It was
if you're out on a boat, on a ship, you will see them swimming alongside your ship.
I actually saw them in the surf off a beach out here in Washington just a couple of weeks ago, and I could see their heads bobbing in the surf. I waved. They knew I was there. They were friendly.
Indeed. Of course.
And they were there, and several people saw them. It was amazing.
Of course.
Yeah,
And those are Mer people.
Okay, okay.
So they're there because they were invited back, as I sent forth the invitation in song,
mm-hmm,
for them to return, and they got the message, and they came back to Terra Christa.
Oh, that's
so
wonderful.
So now they are back in the oceans.
Nice.
And they're also what is called... they're causing what is called disruptions to the naval vessels that are trying to do their what is called their sonar testing.
Oh yes,
because the new population of Mer people are extremely powerful, and their communications can disrupt all communications, sonar, and all that, cause it to go bonkers or haywire, or whatever you want to term it. But it would simply cause it to malfunction.
Oh, that's excellent. I know that.
So,
yeah.
And before, it was the other way around, that they were causing havoc with the whales and the dolphins and the mer peoples.
Right.
Because of the waves that were being sent out to their sonar, and now that has been, the tides have been turned, because also understand the Mer people as a whole are extremely powerful beings,
mm-hmm,
extremely powerful entities, and they have the power to cause what you term, if they desire, they have the ability to cause tsunamis to occur.
Really? Wow.
So, yes, they do have that ability.
Wow, wow.
So, not just volcanic action or
sure.
what you could term as an explosion under the ocean, but also they have their ability to control the waves.
Wow.
Of the world. So if the Navy insists upon doing what you call testing with their sonar and whatever, then they will simply wipe them out.
Well, I have to tell
literally.
You, yeah, that program of sonar testing and killing whales and dolphins was started under the Obama administration. And when I told my friends about it, they were incredulous. But if you looked it up on the web, it was there. But I think there was a big schism because the people of the United States did not want the government to go out and kill these beautiful whales and dolphins. I think that, of course, I'm glad that they're being stopped now. They're actually the U.S. Navy who's been behind this killing of whales and dolphins is under a court order from the federal court in Honolulu, Hawaii, to stop it. Of course, if they're way out in the ocean, they do it anyway, but I'm so glad that we're getting some help now because most people on this planet want to save the whales and dolphins, and we don't want them to be exterminated at all.
Indeed. Well, we have what is called undersea vessels that are of extraterrestrial origin, and they have simply come in contact with what you call your submarine. Mm-hmm. Your nuclear submarines,
mm-hmm.
and they have simply told them to cease and desist from using their sonar.
Wow.
And of course, they simply said, we are not going to cease our operations just from a voice. And so, of course, the ship, undersea vessel, simply turned them off.
Oh, fantastic. That's fantastic.
They finally got the message that the sonar, which is called testing, was to stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or else. So, yes. So we do have what is called intervention from the Galactic Federation
mm-hmm.
on that point.
Oh, that's wonderful. That is so. I'm so glad that we're getting that now. Can the merpeople also stop tsunamis? Can they stop tsunamis?
Of course they can.
Okay. Yeah.
They have the ability to control the height of waves and turn them, and also diminish the height of them. So, also you have what's called wave in the past that was induced by what you term HARP,
mm-hmm.
and they were trying to use their technology to create a tsunami. And they did create a tsunami, but as soon as it was created, it was dissipated and perplexed them quite greatly because they discovered that their humongous wave that they had intention to hit the West Coast did not. It simply went back to tranquil waters.
That's fantastic. I know, Zora, there was an episode back, it must have been in November, I'm trying to think of the year. This is 2018. November 2016, where there was another attempt on the radiation, nuclear reactors at Fukushima. And there was a, 8 or 7.8 Richter scale earthquake in the same area where the cabal detonated a nuclear bomb back in 2011 to cause the problems of Fukushima. But this time, I have a feeling that the Galactics had stepped in because there was no tsunami. Nothing happened except that there was some shaking in the area. So they tried to do yet another, cause another problem with the radiation from Fukushima, but
the issue with that is this. If you are in Fukushima and you look above the Fukushima facility,
right?
They have noticed that it does not rain on that facility.
Interesting.
At all.
Uh-huh. Wow.
And the reason it doesn't rain on that facility is because in the circumference of the area of the Fukushima facility, is a great ship, and it is hovering in a cloaked pattern above the facility. And it is cloaked. You cannot see it, but it's there. And that is why they are experiencing no rainfall in an area around, in and around the Fukushima complex. In a circular pattern, it does not, they get no precipitation whatsoever.
Oh, that is so good.
And that is because there is a ship sitting there that is cloaked that prevents the rain from hitting that area. And it is that would be a sign to you or to them that there is a ship there.
Oh, that is such good news. Thank you for sharing that.
And there's also another great vessel that is stationed above the caldera in Montana as well.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Wow.
So if it was ever to erupt, it would simply be absorbed into the ship.
Oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. Zora, I just got in two questions from Central and South America. And do you mind if I ask them? They're directed to you. And
go ahead.
And some advice. The first one, I'll just paraphrase it. Her name is Maria. She's from Ecuador. She says her English is not good, so I'm going to paraphrase her questions. She wants to know a little bit about your background. And she says, she asks, is Zora not the creator of this galaxy? So that was the first question.
Indeed, I am.
Oh, you are? Okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
The Milky Way galaxy is my creation.
Really? Wow. That's amazing.
Indeed.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Next question.
I didn't know that. This is, she says, she writes, God and money are not right for me. And it says, why sell, if I get this right, why sell the Lemurian bracelet for the head for profit?
Well, understand, what is being, the entity that is putting these crystal headbands together,
right?
She is a private individual.
Mm-hmm.
She is not what is called, she has been given the information on how to build them, how to design them, and how to sell them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she puts her own price upon them. I do not put any price upon anything.
I see.
She is a single mother, and therefore she is doing this to support herself.
Oh, sure. Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So that is all. That's the answer to that.
Okay. Thank you.
I myself, if I was doing this, it would be much. It would be probably a lesser price, if not any.
Okay.
But of course, people also put value upon what is called something if they put a price on it.
Sure, sure.
And price that she puts upon them, this is her doing. This is not ours. This is hers.
Sure, I understand. I understand. Mm-hmm. I understand. This one's kind of an interesting question. She says, do you have a photograph of Zora? The image that we see is a drawing. And I guess the secondary question is, do you have cameras in the inner Earth, Hollow Earth?
Do we have cameras in Hollow Earth?
Yes, yes. Do you have Nikons and Panasonics?
We do have what is called a satellite that is in orbit, in the high orbit, on both North Polar areas.
Mm-hmm.
Where we can observe all the goings-on the surface of the world. And we also have these two satellites that are positioned directly above the North and South Poles.
Wow.
And your NASA is quite perplexed about this because they are not able to put a satellite to travel over the North Pole.
Ah,
it simply falls into the opening.
Interesting.
So they're wondering, how is it possible that these two stationary objects are above both and north and south poles?
Mm-hmm.
It is because our vessels, our satellites, have their own gravity around them, or the atmosphere or space around them. That is why they're able to stay up there.
Wow.
And it's far beyond anything that your government has. But as far as cameras in Hollow Earth, the only cameras that come into Hollow Earth come from the surface.
Hmm.
When people bring them in.
I see.
As far as them being down there and produced there, mm-hmm. no, we do not have any cameras.
Okay. All right. Well, Maria also says she's very grateful to you for the teachings of food purification.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Very good.
She's very happy about that. I have another question from Alexa in Costa Rica. And
indeed.
It's a long email. I'll try to paraphrase it. She has an animal shelter that protects rabbits and other animals in Costa Rica. And I guess the question is, and she's asked me to give out her, I'll give out her email. She asked me to give it out. It's alexajoris@gmail.com. It's alexajoris@gmail.com. And
could you do what is termed as text that to Quasar?
I'll be happy to. Sure. I will be happy to. I'll do that after the show. I'll be happy to do that.
Indeed.
She needs advice about how to get funding to protect animals, rabbits, and also other animals in Costa Rica. Costa Rica is a beautiful country. I've been there. Zora, and they have so many different beautiful animals, and she's asking, maybe what I should do is ask, how do you spiritually protect this planet, the animals, plants, and Mother Earth from destruction? Maybe that's a good question to ask.
Understand, the Galactic Federation are the ones that are in charge of the protection of this planet.
Okay.
And they have proven that time and time again.
Sure.
Every time what is called a near-Earth object comes in close proximity to the Earth, they simply move it to another path.
I see.
So it does not intersect with the Earth. There was a close call, what you call a close call, of an object that was coming into on a collision course with the Earth a few years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was my mission to dispose of it.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. And my ship simply caught up with it, went through the tail of it, into the and dematerialized and rematerialized inside of the asteroid, turned on our force field fully, exited the dematerialized, reappeared in front of the object and disappeared.
Mm.
And then, 60 seconds after that, it imploded.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
It was 150 miles in diameter.
Wow.
Had it struck your planet, we wouldn't be speaking right now.
That's true. Yep, that's true.
So that was a sign showing you that you're protected by us, the Galactic Federation of Planets.
Thank you so much for explaining that, Zora.
Was
that the asteroid that came into the Urals in Russia? I remember that.
It was indeed.
Okay, I do remember seeing the videos of that on YouTube. Yeah, that was amazing.
They tried to say it was a missile
that
intersected with it, but it was not.
Sure.
It was a ship.
Wow. That's amazing. Well, thank you, Zora, for saving us.
since that time, there has been a few other objects that have come close in the proximity of the Earth,
mm-hmm.
and simply disappeared off of the NASA screens,
mm-hmm.
which perplexed them greatly,
wow.
because they could not figure out where they went.
Wow.
And now another issue that I will bring forth. Your NASA has what is called Planet X or Nibiru. This is an object, a planetoid, that is 10 times the size of the Earth, but it will not strike the Earth.
Wow.
The people of the planet Nibiru, which is, in reality is the home planet, Lemur. Lemur, mm-hmm. Lemur, which is the origin of the Lemurians.
Okay.
That planet, the people upon it, can move the planet out of harm's way.
Wow.
So they will, when it comes into the direction of Earth, will simply move away so it does not cause havoc upon the planet.
Wow. Wonderful.
So people who are thinking that it is going to strike the Earth, forget it. It's not.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Zora,
if need be, mm-hmm. they would simply move the Earth out of the way.
Sure.
It is either or.
Yeah. Zora, it's such a delight talking to you today because you have so much good news.
Indeed.
You have so much good news. Our media, of course, is the mass media is still very negatively oriented, but also they've been losing viewers and listeners. I know that in the United States here, CNN, which is the cable news network, it has less viewers now than the cartoon channel does because people are tired of their broadcasting. Much of what they broadcast is not correct, or they'll spend days, weeks, months on a single subject that people aren't interested in. And I think that's one of the reasons why my show has had great success as well, because people are interested in the truth and new in interesting information.
Indeed.
Yeah, which is good news. I wanted to ask you, as another question that came in, is Yellowstone needing any protection, any spiritual prayers of protection, or how will it be in the coming months, years?
Understand Yellowstone, as I have said, that is where the caldera is.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And there is a ship that is stationed above it.
Right.
So there is no more protection is needed because that vessel that is located above the caldera is of immense size also.
Mm-hmm.
And it is also in a cloaked fashion. And if it was to erupt, if the caldera was to explode, the ash cloud, or what you term the volcanic ash and all of this,
right,
would simply be absorbed into the ship.
Wow.
And so the ash cloud would not spread out over hundreds or thousands of miles. Mm-hmm. It would simply be sucked in. As soon as it erupted, it would be sucked in into the vessel.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be no harm upon the Earth.
Well. I have to tell you, Zora, and I'm urging everyone around the world listening today to do this, look up in the sky at night. And I wanted to run this by you, Zora, because I see galactic ships all the time, every night. Some of them are in phase, some out of phase. Some are from Arcturus, some from the Pleiades. But they are galactic ships, and I think I've even seen some of your ships as well from the Hollow Earth come out. But it's getting to the point where it's getting, for people who just look up in the sky and you observe these things, I see ships all the time.
Of course.
Yeah, I see ships all the time up there. And I think there's going to become a day here soon, Zora, where even governments will not be able to explain it away as weather balloons like they did with Roswell in 1947.
Well, understand, beloved God, that what is called aeroships,
mm-hmm.
if you are in question as to how many vessels or ships there are in your skies at night, simply find a lake that is tranquil, that is very calm.
Okay.
There's no wind upon it,
mm-hmm.
no waves,
mm-hmm.
simply very tranquil.
Mm-hmm.
And look in it. All of the sparkles that you see in a lake are ships.
Really?
Stars do not reflect.
Ah, interesting.
But ships do.
Ah, interesting. Interesting. Okay. Okay.
So if you're wondering how many ships there are in your skies at night, simply look into a pond.
Okay.
That is calm.
All right.
Or a lake that is calm. And you will see the ships.
I have to tell you this story, Zura. I was at Machu Picchu in January this year and also in October.
And
at Machu Picchu, there's a little place for star observation. And the ancient Incas, and I have several of their spirits with me today, they had like large circular pools of water where they would look at the stars at night. And is that how they could tell whether they were looking at ships, is looking at the water, the reflections of in that water?
Understand, what they were seeing was reflections of ships, not stars.
Okay, all right. Interesting.
But understand, because the stars will not reflect in the ocean.
Right.
Or in water.
Mm-hmm.
But ships will.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
So the pools were for observation, yes, but not for stars.
Okay, sure.
And also... So you were at Machu Picchu?
At Machu Picchu, right. Mm-hmm.
Did you go all the way to the top?
I went up as far as I could go without going all the way up to the top. There were two peaks. I didn't get up to the very top, but I got close to it.
Did you make it as far as the slab, or what you call the altar?
Yeah, there is. Yes, I did go to the altar, yes.
Underneath the altar is a stairwell that goes down in a circular pattern, a spiral.
Mm-hmm.
It is underneath the stone. If the stone was to be removed, you would see the stairwell.
Okay.
And that would go down approximately a mile down into a shuttle station.
All right.
And that shuttle station, from there, you are able to access all underground Argosian cities.
Wonderful.
From going down the stairwell.
I remember a couple different, there's two places I remember now, just to make clear. There was a place that looked like a condor, and then there were entrances, there were carved into the rock surrounding this condor, stone condor, Azora. Places where they would mummify bodies. There was that part, and there was another slab of stone next to an area where the priests would do. It was like a very sacred area where they would do ceremonies. Would it be next to the area where the priest did the ceremonies, or over by the condor?
Probably by where the priests were.
Yeah, that would make sense. Yeah, I do know where that stone is. Okay. Wow.
They have not found the stairwell yet.
Right.
They have not moved the stone, the flat stone,
sure,
where it is located.
Sure.
If they were to remove it, there is, it is on a, what is called a swivel. But there's also a way to activate the swivel.
Oh, wow.
And by pressing upon a certain area of the altar, which would cause it to swivel and slide over, and it would reveal the stairwell.
From a spiritual perspective, is it because humanity has not been ready for spiritual advancement yet that hasn't been found, but it will be? Do you think it'll be found soon in the future as humanity still progresses and progresses into the higher dimensions?
Indeed. Well, okay. I simply told you where it was.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All you have to do is make contact with the people that you know
okay.
in Machu Picchu
okay.
and explain it to them.
All right. Okay. Well, the next time I go down there, I will. That would be great to find the transport system to other Agarthan cities. Does it go to Mount Shasta?
The shuttle goes everywhere.
Okay.
The shuttle goes to Telos.
Okay.
The shuttle goes to Agartha. The shuttle goes into Hollow Earth.
Okay.
Goes everywhere.
Okay. Boy, that could really save a lot of money on plane tickets if I could find that. I would only need to buy a one-way ticket to Peru rather than a round trip.
Well, understand, if you are in, say you are in what is called in Sedona.
Right.
You have a monument there called Bell Rock, yes?
Okay, yeah.
Going upon the top of Bell Rock, there's what you call an archway.
Okay.
You walk through the archway, you will simply appear in Australia.
Wow.
It is a gateway or a doorway, a portal, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that will take you from Sedona, Bell Rock, to the great reddish outcrop or stone in what is called Australia.
Wow, amazing.
In the outback.
Okay, okay.
But it, and then vice versa. You can walk through the portal in Australia and appear in Sedona.
Wow.
So it is a two-way portal.
Do you think once the U.S. government finds out about that, they'll want to put a border station at the Brock for people coming from Australia to make sure?
Not likely, no.
All right. All right. Well, that's...
That is your humor.
Okay, yes. Yes, that's my humor coming through. That's right. That's right. All right. All right. I just had a couple of questions come in from my listeners. Can you send a request to where you'd like to go, or is that a dedicated portal from Sedona to Australia, back and forth?
That is a simple portal that goes to one location.
One location, okay.
But there are others. That,
I see.
There is one portal located outside of the city of what is called Nagasaki, Japan.
Oh, really?
That would have, by walking between two pillars, you would simply appear in Pearl Harbor.
Oh my goodness! Oh my
goodness! During the time of World War II, there was a discovery of a Japanese officer appearing in Pearl Harbor, on the ground, of course, and simply because he walked between this portal in Japan and appeared in Pearl Harbor.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And was quickly taken into custody.
My goodness. My goodness.
And there are portals that go everywhere.
Oh, amazing.
But also, you understand, the shuttle transport underneath the ground that was put there by the Agartans
mm-hmm.
goes to all. It has tracks that go, not tracks, but tunnels that go to all, underneath all major cities in the world.
Wow, wow.
And these shuttles can go to each and every one of those locations.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. That's amazing. We've got about 30, 40 seconds left, Zora, and I wanted to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your wonderful interview today.
All I'm going to tell you is this. Remember what I said.
Okay.
When it comes to meditation.
Right.
You want to do it for an hour or more.
Okay.
And you want to do it in Mother Nature.
All right.
Always with Mother Nature.
Okay. All right. All right, Sora.
If at all possible.
Okay, all right.
If it's not possible, mm-hmm. then simply go into a private, quiet place
okay.
and do your meditation.
Okay, all right.
But preferably, of course, it would be best in nature. To get access to a tree sure. and
sure.
ground.
Sure. Zora, I hope you have a wonderful and happy weekend. Thank you so much, and Billy, for coming on my show today. And everyone around the world, I hope your day is out of this world.